Father, and from our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the gospel that I read to you about the rich man and his dishonest manager. And perhaps the verse that really counts in the end, the master commended the dishonest manager because he'd acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word of yours and all the words we've heard from you today. Speak to us clearly through them so that we understand them and believe them and live according to them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is a difficult parable to interpret, says Barclay. This parable may well be the most difficult of all the parables, says Capon. They're theologians, by the way. I find this text to be one of the most confusing in Scripture, says a good Lutheran commentator. And he goes on to give seven ways that we could look at it. We're not going to do that, by the way. And here I am, a retired pastor, trying to make sense of this difficult text for those of you who perhaps in some cases don't even care about what it really means, because there's so many other words in Scripture to hang on to. One thing is clear, and I'm sure you all got that, the parable talks about money. We all know something about money, and we all have an interest in money. And most people get very jittery when pastors start talking about money. It might be helpful to know that Jesus actually taught more about money than about any other topic in the Bible, because he knew it's a problem area for us. He knew that most of us have struggles with money. He knew that most of us will sit up and take notice when he talks about money. He knew he'd get our attention when he said, for example, no one can serve God and money, or mammon, as it says in some old Bibles. That's in our reading today, and it implies we have a choice. You're going to serve God or you're going to serve money. Who's going to be your boss? Interesting that one of the biggest money systems in the world is called MasterCard. MasterCard. Interesting. Gee, I'm glad I got rid of my MasterCard and went to Visa. Oh, it's the same thing though, isn't it? Are you going to choose God or choose money as your master? That's what it's about. When we're nervous about something, we often tell jokes about it, don't we? Breaks the ice a bit. Like this one addressed to a bank robber. Why do you always rob banks? Well, he said that's where the money is, isn't it? Or this one about paying for our new building. I have good news and bad news for you. This is a real old one, isn't it? I have good news and bad news for you. The good news is that we have all the money that we need to pay for our church building next Sunday. We have it all. What's the bad news then? Well, the bad news is it's still in our pockets or in our banks or wherever it is. And then there was the bandit who pointed his gun at you and he said, your money or your life? And you stood there with your hands up and said, nothing. And so the bandit asked again, and you could see his finger nervously twitching the trigger. And he asked you again, your money or your life? And you said, nothing again. And the third time he said, your money or your life? And finally you said, hang on, I'm thinking it over. That's how we are, you see. We're in a dilemma between money and our lives, or things that are actually much more important than money. And that's what this story is about. The rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and said, give an account of your management because you're sacked. This really woke up the dishonest manager. And his mind really started to tick over and he thought, how can I get out of this sticky situation that I'm in? Finally, he called in all his creditors who hadn't been paying their debts because he'd been a bad manager, and he asked them to join him in fudging the books. and then paying on the spot. So he said to the one man who owed him 800 gallons of olive oil, I don't know why it said 900 in that reading, because my Bible says 800. He rewrote the books and it said 400 gallons of olive oil. So he quickly paid, as you would, wouldn't you? It was cut in halves. And another man owed him 1,000 bushels of wheat. So they rewrote the books to say 800 and he quickly paid up. And you know what the result was? Well, you do know. The chaps who hadn't paid their bills thought the manager was just great. And they said that when he got chucked out on the street, if that's what happened to him, he was welcome in their homes, which was exactly what he was after. That was a good result. Now, after church today, the first service, somebody said to me, you know, in the wartime, we had some soldiers that came to our place. My mum would feed them. I don't quite know where this was. I don't know which war it was. I guess the Second World War. And they said, one day these soldiers turned up with a real lot of food and stuff. And that was at a time where you couldn't get any food. And she said, and this, the mother was very suspicious. She said, this is stolen food. Where did you steal this? We're not taking this. This is stolen food. Where'd you get it from? And she said, they said, well, we had to do a stock take at the army barracks. We had to do a stock take. And so what we did is, for every 10 items, we wrote 6. And we took the other 4. It's called a stock take, you see? That's what this is about. You see, this fellow is getting really creative in his accounting, and so he has a win-win for everybody. And Jesus is really saying, why can't you lot be as smart as that when it comes to God? But there's something more surprising. The rich man got most of his money, whereas he thought he'd get nothing. And he praised the dishonest steward because he'd acted shrewdly. He was shrewd. He cooked the books, but he got a lot of the money back. He probably still lost his job and he was still dishonest, but he got the praise of his boss. And he got a welcome into the homes of the other people. So now, is this a parable to teach us about business practices? Or how to run the school's bank account? Or how to pay for this church building? Well, no, as you all know, it's not. Jesus teaches us how to live wisely as children of God. Jesus teaches us that we can get so hooked on money and the things of this world that we totally forget about and lose sight of God and his kingdom. Jesus says to us through this story, if only we could learn from this rascal to be as smart in following God as he was smart in fudging the books and getting some money for himself and getting friends. If only we thought more about God than about money. If only we thought more about getting even to heaven, dare I say it, than about just getting ahead on earth. If only we thought more about using our money to bless other people and to honour God than about getting all the money we can for ourselves and spending it on ourselves. And we know that this is the spirit of the age, isn't it? The spirit of the age is spend it on yourselves. The spirit of the age is, you know, now that you're retired, you know, and you've worked so hard for all this money, what are you meant to do with it? Go cruising all over the world and spend it all so your kids don't get any of it. I mean, that, we know that's being sold to people all the time. Yeah. The story in the previous chapter, that's Luke 15, is about the prodigal son. Now, the prodigal son wasn't good at handling money either, if you remember that, because he got half the inheritance and then he ran away and blew the lot. You remember that story? Blew the lot. And when his money ran out and all his options for doing anything ran out, then he had to think of a plan, just like this other fellow did. It's the same language almost in both cases. And this was his plan. He said, what I'm going to do, because I'm sick of being in the pigsty here, there's no future in the pigsty, I'm going to go home to my dad, whom I ran away from because I couldn't bear the sight of him, and I'm going to confess my sins. I'm going to make up a little sob story and confess my sins, and I'm going to plead with him to take me back as a slave. And what happened? The father said, no way. He ran out and he embraced his son and he loved his son and he forgave his son and he put on the biggest and the noisiest party that the whole district had heard for years. The son had lost his money and his dignity and he brought total shame on the father and the whole family. But surprise, surprise, the father welcomed him home. It's an amazing story. I told that story to a couple once who I was about to marry. I told them just to give them an illustration of what God is like and everything. And as I'm telling this story, this lovely blonde woman, I could see she was crying. She was crying her heart out because she said, I've never heard that before. It just struck her that God is so surprising, so amazing. Despite what we do, God is so loving and forgiving towards us. Is there anyone here today who's got everything together in life, in the area of money? Do you want to tell us some more? Or sex? It'll go quiet now, won't it? Or being faithful at work? Or faithful in marriage? Or faithful to God? I'll trap you all on this one. Is there anyone here who loves God with all their heart, soul, mind and strength, which is what the Bible says? You don't have to answer that in front of us all today, but you do have to answer that to God. That's talking about your debts, isn't it? And I know that I've got a lot to answer for, and I'm not going to tell you what it is either. But I do tell God. And the amazing thing is that I know that I still have a God who loves me and forgives me and welcomes me home as his son and his heir. And he's a God who is full of surprises. And he opens the gate of heaven and says, even you are welcome to be here with me forever. And that's pretty good in my view. Last Sunday, I preached at a family reunion at Balaclava. Do any of you know any people at Balaclava? Okay, some of you do. But you don't know this person I'm going to talk about because they come from Queensland, so you're pretty safe here. A distant relative whom I'd never met before came up to me after the service, very emotional, and said that he wept almost the whole way through the service. You don't know whether to be happy or sad when you hear that. Wept almost all the way through. And he's about 70. That's what I wrote when I wrote this a few days, but I've looked up the family tree book. He's actually 75. And he went to Holy Communion for the first time in years. And he discovered by going to communion that God still loved him. He'd been a prodigal. He'd run away, you see, for years and years. And at 75, he sort of comes back to his senses a bit and discovers God still loves me and God forgives me and God is full of surprises. He always is to those who wake up and get a bit of sense into their heads like this business manager did. Recently at a men's shed barbecue, and some of you were at it, and I've spoken about it in this church before, a once rich drug dealing, violent, bikey, and that's just skimming over the surface, from a broken home, told us how he ended up in forced rehabilitation. The court basically said to rehab or to prison, but he had no desire to change. But one thing happened, it was a Salvation Army home he was sent to, and one thing that happened is that a little woman, about a middle-aged woman, nothing particularly sexy about her, but this little woman came up to him and said, I think you need a hug. And he didn't know what to say. So she gave him one almighty hug, And then she said, God loves you, you know. And then she put her hand on his head and she prayed for him. I don't know what she prayed, but she prayed for him that God would forgive him, I guess. And you know what happened to him? He slid to the floor. He slid to the floor and he cried and he cried and he cried. He hadn't cried for years, this bloke. And he cried and he cried, repenting of his sins and his stupidity and his dreadful. He treated people dreadfully for years. And you know, he made the surprising discovery that God still loved him and forgave him and gave him another chance. And you know what this guy does now? He rides all over Australia on his motorbike, telling people about the God who loves him, who gave him a second chance, who forgives him. See, God is full of surprises for those who come back to him. God is amazing. He surprises us with his grace. And when we have our backs to the wall and can't think how to get out of the mess that we're in, Jesus goes to the cross and pays the price for our sins with his blood, the red, the debt is paid. God is not a bookkeeper checking up how well we've done. He's not a scorekeeper, which is just as well for Crows fans. He's not a scorekeeper checking up to see whether we've won or not. He's a lover. God is a lover who sends Jesus to clean up the mess that we've made and stretches his arms out on the cross for us, and then in the resurrection stretches his arms out to welcome us home. Wise people leave everything to run into the outstretched arms of God. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.